can you canoe? That's the question this morning as we tell John where to go. Good morning, John Munson in for Joy Cardine, who's on her way to Alaska, but not in a canoe or a kayak. I want to make that clear. We're going to be talking about paddling Wisconsin's waters this morning with Kevin Revoldinsky, world travel expert from Madison, author of a number of guidebooks, including Best Tent Camping Wisconsin and Backroads and Byways of Wisconsin, and of most importance to us this morning, Paddling Wisconsin, a guide to the state's best paddling routes. Kevin joins me in the studio this morning. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
I trust you didn't paddle to Vilas Hall today.
Didn't have to, although yesterday it seemed, with all the rain. You know.
Yeah, you might have been thinking about it anyway. Well, we finally get summer here in the Badger State, at least in those parts that haven't had a lot of it yet, Wisconsin paddlers are more and more seeking out the quiet scenery of our many lakes and rivers in the state. Let's talk about how you got interested in paddling. What's so great about it? How long have you been paddling?
I've been paddling since I was a kid. Not so regularly that I think of myself as the epitome of paddling. I think I'm just a regular guy who likes to get out and paddle. What I love about it is just being out in the quiet, really, out in the wilderness. And when you're on a river, of course, you're not going to have typically a lot of people around you. So, I mean, that is one way to get away from the crowds.
There's no rush hour on the river.
Not so much. Okay. There are those that have a lot of, paddlers on them. But, typically you're in the middle of nowhere kind of thing.
Well, and of course, when you're in the middle of nowhere, you often get to see things that that aren't normally things that you would see walking down the street. What kind of wildlife have you seen while paddling in various parts of the state?
The variety is amazing. And with, paddling, you get to sneak up on it, as it were. So we've had deer cross in front of us right through the river. I've seen otters. I've seen, we see an eagle. In the book, the 40 paddles in there, we saw eagles on every one of them except the downtown Milwaukee trip. So, as a kid, that was something special. You see an eagle maybe once every couple summers, and now, anytime we go out paddling, we see eagles. And we've gotten up close to some of them eating fish, on the shoreline. You just kind of float quietly past them watching. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did a lot of paddling when I was younger, and then after I got married and moved away from my friend who had the canoe, not so much anymore. But it was a great way to fish small lakes, for example, lakes you wouldn't take a motorboat into. You could take a canoe into and catch a lot of fish. A lot of people are maybe just getting into paddling. How do you recommend that we start?
For most people, if they're not sure they're really going to get into it, the first thing is to not buy the canoe or a kayak, but maybe rent from an outfitter and go on one of these trips. Give it a try and see if you like it. And if you do, you really don't have to go whole hog and get the $3,000 deluxe handcrafted wood canoe. If you are just going out for a few times every summer, you can get even the plastic variety from Farm and Fleet or something is adequate to, if it floats.
Floating would be a real key characteristic of whatever canoe or kayak we want to buy. Yeah. Should we have some special training? Are there classes that we should be taking if we're just getting started?
There are a variety of ways to learn the various strokes, and the videos online. There's books. There's outfitters that'll run introductory courses. Like Rutabaga here in Madison does a lot of educational type things. It's not that complicated, and especially if you're not going out there and doing class 3 rapids and trying to go over waterfalls and some crazy things. It doesn't have to be an extreme sport. It should be, for me, it's something that is relaxing, and you don't need so much training to get out there and just do it.
Well, the most important rule to remember is that the open side of the canoe is supposed to be up.
Yeah, that is important.
You want to keep that up. What about What about the differences between kayaking and canoeing? I mean, those are two really. Is it a remarkably different skill set from one to the other? Or if I've been in a canoe, should I not have too much trouble with a kayak?
It is different. I don't know how difficult it really is to adjust, but I mean, in the canoe, you're sitting up higher out of the water. It feels less stable. It rocks easier when you go side to side. And of course, then with the kayak, you're really down in the water there, and it's a different paddle and, different strokes. But they both have their attraction for me. I can go either way there.
Is paddling a good solo sport, or do we generally want to have someone along?
I like to go with somebody else, but some people may have a different opinion on that. With a canoe, obviously, you can have two people there. And kayaks, unless you have a tandem one, is usually one person per craft. But, you bring other kayak friends with you, and then it's kind of a different experience. But the trick I found in writing the book, of course, is that if you're doing a river, it's a one-way trip, and you have to have a method to get back to your car if you're not using an outfitter or a shuttle. That's true even with a canoe. So if you're not bringing two cars, what I did for the book is I used my bicycle. So I shuttled myself back to the car, dropped the bike at the end of the journey, lock it to a tree or something, and do the paddling and then, paddling and then pedaling.
Had to go back. Well, I assume you didn't have your canoe strapped to your back when you were on the bicycle, so you must have had to go back and pick that up.
Yeah, we just weren't able to keep it attached to my back, so we decided to just do it this way.
Well, let's talk about some of the paddling trips that you have mentioned in your book. There's 40 different ones. They're all around the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I suppose asking you to pick your favorite is like asking
Impossible.
A mother to pick her favorite child. Not a good idea, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, so, nice.
Well, listen, the list of things that I do that are not good ideas is pretty – I could write a book. Let's talk about different characteristics then of some of your trip. Let's say that the criteria that I have is that I'm really interested in some spectacular landscape. If I listed that as my criteria, what paddling adventure would you suggest for me?
I still can't narrow that to one, but I would say that anything that has some of those amazing sandstone rock outcrops along the way. And the first one that comes to mind is the Kickapoo, which is a pretty popular paddle. It zigzags through all this, carved rock, and you're constantly at the paddle because of the non-direct route of that river. I think that's one of my favorites in terms of scenery. But there's several others that people aren't flocking to, like the Kickapoo. The Kinnikinnick over by River Falls. And that's probably, if I have to pick a favorite, I'm going to say that when we were doing the book, that was my favorite experience. It was not massive rapids, but I mean, it was constantly riffles all the way down, and you're zigzagging in between, these towering cliffs, and it's maybe 20 feet across. It's a class one trout stream. So maybe that one's a favorite if I'm forced.
Well, let's talk about some other canoe trips we could take, or kayak trips we could take in southwestern Wisconsin, some maybe that we haven't heard of before.
Okay, maybe the Grant River. That goes through a bit of farmland, and then you have the bluffs and also some of that carved sandstone, pretty good current, and lots of wildlife through there, actually. And there's that's also a good tubing destination on one portion of that river. It's down near, what is it, B-Town? In the middle of the trip, you pass this large outcrop that towers way above you and leans out over the water, and there's a seep, which is, water from underground that's falling on you from up above out of that rock. So it's like on a hot summer day, kind of a nice little break there to cool off.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, and, you know, a lot of people could use a shower. I want to, we're going to take a break for news here in just a moment, so I would like to give our listeners a chance to get involved. Listeners, what's your favorite river or lake in Wisconsin for paddling? And do you have stories to share about especially good trips you've taken or things you've seen along the way? And maybe you have some questions for Kevin about about canoeing and kayaking. Well, that's all fodder for discussion here on the Joy Cardine program. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. The email address is talk@WPR.org. And you can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook or Twitter. Hey, you know what? If you go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, post a paddling picture. I think that'd be kind of cool. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. Hey, I've been over here. Well, I was riding around a county taking from a jar. Big blue canoe up on top of my car. Hopping darling. Friday mornings at 6 is when you get to tell Joy where to go. Well, Joy is going. She's on her way to Alaska. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. You can tell me where to go with my canoe or kayak around the state of Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite spot to go for a paddle? You can send us an email, talk@WPR.org, or better yet, go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and post your comment, maybe a photo of your favorite paddling spot. And or you can ask questions about paddling. Kevin Revelinsky is my guest. He's a world travel expert from Madison. He's author of a number of books, including Paddling Wisconsin, A Guide to the State's Best Paddling Routes. He also has a blog, the Mad Traveler blog. It's RevTravel, all one word, .com. You could check that out as well. Okay, so Kevin, you know, when we think about canoeing and kayaking, a lot of people probably think that that's something that's pretty much done on rivers, but there are a lot of lakes in Wisconsin that are good for paddling too, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something I tried to accomplish with the book. I know most books tend to, you know, do river routes from, you know, point A to point B, but I wanted to include some of the, you know, the great stillwater paddles. You know, we've got two great lakes, I had to put something in there about the Apostle Islands. And also, Door County's got a couple of great, well, more than a couple, but I put a couple in the book, you know, great paddles out there along the shoreline. Horicon Marsh, they actually have a canoe trail there, that starts on the east branch of the Rock River and then goes through the marsh. And you can either, you know, paddle that round trip or get out, you know, in town there in Horicon. And the Mississippi River. It's a river, but there's a canoe trail there as well that you set off down the river and come back through a backwater. So it's almost, you know, it's called Long Lake. That's another, you know, awesome way to see the Mississippi River there. A lot of wildlife back there. So.
Well, we've been talking about, well, I asked people to submit photos to Facebook. Tim already did that. He shows us a picture of Black Hawk Lake near Cobb and says, a nice lake with great fishing.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I have not paddled there, but I have heard that that's a great place to get out there. Actually, I think Larry Mueller mentioned that to me once on a show as one of his favorite paddling places, going out there when it's mist on the lake or, you know, foggy in the morning.
Yeah, and there are a lot of places where you can get a canoe where you won't find any other boats on the lake. And I'm thinking, just because I've lived most of my life in northwestern Wisconsin, there are some lakes up near Iron River, not really part of the Pike Lake chain, but there was one I used to like to go to called Five Island Lake, where you actually could not drive into the lake. You drove in on a logging road, and then you had to carry your canoe to the lake a few hundred yards. You couldn't drive right up to it, and there was no development on it. But, of course, this was, you know, 1970, so who knows? It's probably full of houses now. It was a beautiful lake to fish and a lot of trees down all the way around it, so great cover for bass and bluegills and things like that. But there are a lot of there are still a lot of places like that in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Just use that as an example.
And there's Turtle Flambeau Flowage, you know, way up north there. And that is, it is open to other boats, but they have a canoe quiet area. So even the fishermen that pass through there are supposed to go slow and no wake. And they do. And you can go camping for free out on all these islands. And it's just a huge, it's kind of like Wisconsin's little boundary waters, I like to call it.
It's really different fishing from, I've never fished from a kayak, but I know fishing from a canoe is really different than fishing from a boat. Talk a little bit about some of the differences.
Fishing? I'm not a fisherman, to be honest.
I can tell you that you have to, you really have to pay attention to being quiet when you're in a canoe. Wear moccasins or don't wear any footwear at all.
Well, it's good to know. And I'm seeing that there are a lot of canoes that are designed for this, with little places to put your fishing pole and, you know, to get your gear so you don't have to move around a lot, because that's not something you want to do in a canoe. So.
Yeah, and you want to have your tackle box on a foam pad, particularly if you're using an aluminum canoe, because noise in a lot of these places will spook the fish.
Sure.
Let's take a call. We have Steve with us in Darlington. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
You go ahead.
One paddle I like to make at this time of the year, and I think the event is coming up this weekend, is the Pecatonica River from Calamine to Darlington. They have the Pecatonica Canoe Festival is this weekend, and they've got a lot of activities in town, but the feature event is the canoe race on Sunday. You can start anytime you want on the Pecatonica River on Calamine, which is upstream from Darlington. And it's about a 10-mile paddle downstream to the community park there in Darlington. And they have canoes for rent if you don't have one. And it's just a lot of fun.
That's a great route, actually. And as it also has the Cheese Country Trail, so you can do that bike shuttle quite easily to get back to where you put in. And then it ends with a little bit of rapids as you come into town under the bridge there.
Mm.
Yeah,
well, it
one.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Steve, thank you for that call. You could be next to tell us about your favorite paddling place. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You could post on Facebook and tell us that way, too. Just look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's talk about how far we might want to go when we paddle. How far should we expect to go in an average afternoon, for example? And what do we need to know to plan our trip?
You know, I think the ideal distance, well, it depends on the rate, you know, the speed of the river, of course. But something about 8 to 10 miles is going to give you, you know, three and a half hours on the river, depending on how much, you know, stopping you do to look at things. And I think that's kind of an ideal trip. Maybe not for starters, though. Someone who's not used to paddling would find out pretty quick that you get blisters, and you know, it's a lot of work. Some, you know, in certain rivers. So, in terms of planning, if you have no experience, I think definitely use an outfitter, and they will guide you as to the ins and outs of that particular river, which is what my guidebook obviously aims to do. So you have to know ahead of time of what to expect there. Are there going to be rapids? Is it going to be still water? Are you going to have to paddle a lot? Are you going to be able to just float? There's parts of like the lower Wisconsin River where the river is moving pretty quick. It doesn't look like it, but it is moving pretty quick, so your trip might end up being a lot shorter than you expected. So.
Yeah, let's talk about safety advice, because safety is obviously, you know, paramount here. We want to return from our trip in one piece. What advice do you have for paddlers on what they should do to protect themselves?
Well, you have to have your flotation device, and by law you have to have them in the craft. And I know some people don't like to wear them, that's a personal choice, I guess, but it must not be attached to your canoe or your kayak. Some people will use them as, you know, something to sit on, but then if the kayak or the canoe turns over and it's still attached, it's not really going to help you out. And in places like the Wisconsin River, they do have DNR officials who enforce those rules, and they're pretty, you know, they're sticklers about them, as they should be. I mean, we just had a drowning here in the past week on Lake Mendota. So it's quite serious. You know, water is not forgiving. And it's something that I noticed, too. Well, I learned it years ago on, I think, the Little Wolf River, which was a place where you could rent these fiberglass canoes for very cheap, and you'd paddle 2 hours down a very shallow river. It didn't go up maybe to your waist in some places, but mostly to your knees, or you scraped. And you thought, well, what could happen to me on this river? And we dumped and going around a bend. And all of our stuff, you know, you watch it floating away downstream, so you want to figure, you know, plan ahead to keep your things that you want to keep in the canoe, you make sure that they are attached. But, you know, we watched all our stuff go, and then the canoe got pushed up against some deadfall that was just under the surface of the water. And that moment, you see how amazingly strong water can be, even in a dopey little creek like that, almost. Had a person been pinned behind that, they wouldn't have been able to get out. Mm. So,
what about hydration? I mean, that's not something we think about. Hey, I'm going to be on the water. What do I need to carry water with me for?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be drinking the river water. Yeah, hydration's important. Having, I think, energy bars or some kind of snack with you is important. You get tired after all that paddling. Sun protection. A good hat, a good canoe hat. I'm a firm believer in a good canoe hat, even when I'm not canoeing, maybe.
What's a canoe hat?
It's something that's got a nice wide brim and keeps the sun off your ears as well as your, you know, face. Baseball caps tend to leave your ears exposed. For me, it's something that you can scoop water out of the river to pour onto your head when you're hot.
Okay. So. 800-642-1234. The Joy Cardine Show is on Facebook, and you can leave your comment or question there. We're talking about paddling around Wisconsin with Kevin Revelinsky. Kevin is a world travel expert from Madison, and he's the author of a number of guidebooks, including Paddling Wisconsin, a guide to the state's best paddling routes. We have people on the phone. Let's go to the phones and start in Clayton, where Fred has a question for us. Fred, good morning.
Good morning. I have some rowing dories with a sliding seat, and, they're pretty good in rough water. Is there some good places to go for that?
Whoa. You've got what now?
They're rowing dories. They have the sliding seat like a skull.
Oh, okay.
Dory, so it's a little more stable.
Huh. Is this something for still water? I've never been in one, to be quite honest. I'm more canoe
kayak. Dories are, they have a really big flare on them, so they're a very stable boat.
Oh, okay.
And then they have 9-foot oars, you know, with a sliding seat. So you can cover a lot of territory in a short time.
Well, that sounds good for some of the big open water as well. You know, like in a canoe, you don't like to be stuck out in a big lake like... here in Madison, Mendota, Monona, if you get out there in the middle, you're kind of exposed and blown around. That sounds like something that would be great up in, Turtle Flambeau Flowage, no?
Yeah, there's probably a lot of small lakes or medium-sized lakes and flowages in northern Wisconsin, and probably some not too far from Clayton where you could take your dory. That'd be kind of interesting. Boy, that's a big wingspan, 9-foot oars.
Wow.
You'd need some space to get that thing out there. One other consideration for safety is the weather. I know that during my time on canoeing lakes a long time ago, we always kept our eye on the clouds because you don't want to get caught out on the lake in a wind, and you certainly don't want to be on the lake in a thunderstorm.
Yeah, that's true. And weather apps have made that a lot easier than in the past. You know, you could really watch the radar rather than suddenly finding out on your radio that, oh, by the way, a storm's here. Places like, well, Turtle Flambeau Flowage, I keep bringing up, they had a tornado a few years ago, and we thought about that while we were out there camping. And at that point, I think you just cross your fingers. I mean, you can't paddle your way out of the middle of the lake like that if you're camping and then the next day, you know, a big storm moves through. But you should have a plan of where you're going to go and how you're going to get out. You don't want to be stuck.
Paddling into the wind is no fun either.
No.
Like biking into the wind. You don't want to be doing it. 800-642-1234, the number to call. We have Kevin Revelinsky with us to answer your questions about paddling in Wisconsin. And also want to hear about your favorite paddling places. Now, maybe, and, you know, I was wondering, Kevin, sometimes people don't want to give up those spots. They've got some place that they really like to go to. It's like your favorite fishing hole. Yeah, I'm not telling you where I caught that walleye. You know, we want to keep these things private. But we're hoping people will share at 800-642-1234. Jake is with us this morning from Sparta. Jake, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just had another comment about keeping accessories and sun protection dry. I've lost many a pair of sunglasses out of my canoe before, and there's some companies like Coleman and other camping accessory companies that make little bags that will attached to the cross members of your canoe right in front of you, that a lot of them are waterproof, and you can keep them right in front of you or behind you on your cross member of your canoe instead of having your bag or something like that rolling around in the bottom of your canoe where it's going to get wet.
Yeah,
and
for
stuff
sure.
Like that, and rolling around and stuff like that. And I always have a couple extra pairs of sunglasses because a lot of people skip that. And you know, you can get some good cheap sunglasses for $2 or $3 a pair at a store, you know. And so, yeah, those little bags are just a good idea, and they're pretty inexpensive. You can get one for $20, and they really help keep it handy in front of you.
Yeah, and dry bags are really nice. That, you know, that they snap shut and roll a tight waterproof seam. You can, you know, keep your clothes dry, and those snap then over, you know, something on the, you know, the crossbars there.
Well, and Kevin, you mentioned, you know, that we use apps on our phones to get the weather, but, you know, there's a consideration, too. You want to keep your phone out of the water, and that can be a challenge.
Yeah, and they have little dry bags for that and something that you could wear around your neck, so those seal shut. But then there's also the consideration that sometimes you're in a place that's not going to have cell service, so I think it's always best to not, you know, rely completely on the technology. Sometimes you're out there in the wilderness and that's, you know, you're on your own. But yeah, having something to keep that phone dry is important. That's kind of an expensive error.
Yeah, I'll say. Thanks to Emery on Facebook, who shared several pictures of the Peshtigo River in early morning in November with lots of mist. Very pretty photos. Thank you, Emery. And one of those pictures has a young boy in a kayak. The kayak itself seems child size. Is paddling, how do we get our kids involved? And we're about a minute away from the news.
Well, you can bring them along in canoes. You know, teach them to paddle, take them on a safe river, something like maybe the Wolf River in some of its calmer areas. And, introduce them, I think, at an early age, but obviously make sure they're wearing their, you know, a flotation device.
Yeah, that would be really important. We're talking about paddling around Wisconsin this morning. You get to tell me where to go. What's your favorite lake or river? Are you somebody who likes to explore the caves along the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore? Do you like to go on Lake Michigan up in Door County? You know, maybe you have a favorite river that you wouldn't mind sharing with us. When we come back after the news, we'll talk. One of the things that Kevin I want to hear about is urban canoeing, because that was a little counterintuitive when I read that at first, but I want to hear about your adventures with urban canoeing. Talking about paddling around Wisconsin with Kevin Revelinsky and with you at 800-642-1234, or talk at WPR.org, or go on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and share your paddling story or photos or questions. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We're going to paddle off to the news and then be back with more paddling on the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network.
Stand outside, sound waves on the water, don't need to be amplified. Can you canoe on a little boat built for two? Can you canoe? I'll be your captain and your...
I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashpin, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha.
So you might have been to Cuba City, but where did you paddle? That's what we're asking today. Tell me where to go to put in the canoe or the kayak. Maybe it's a lake, maybe it's a river. Let us know what you where you like to do your paddling. Paddling a big, big sport in Wisconsin. Kevin Revelinsky is my guest, world travel expert from Madison, author of a number of books, including Paddling Wisconsin, A Guide to the State's Best Paddling Routes. He also maintains the Mad Traveler blog. Let's take a call from Eugene in Viola. Eugene, good morning.
Good morning, John. Kickapoo River from Ontario down to Rockton or Rockton to Lafarge. It's a beautiful run either way. And there are several canoe rentals up at Ontario. And I think there's one at Rockton. And they also run a shuttle service to get you back up to your car.
Yeah, that's a really good stretch, actually. Very scenic. And the zigzagging is keeps it interesting. It's also one to be aware of that the water levels can fluctuate quite quickly in after a rainstorm, so it's good to contact an outfitter before you get out there.
Yeah, and there are some rivers in Wisconsin that it's best to canoe in June rather than, say, late August or early September just because of those same water level concerns.
Yeah,
if you don't
absolutely
get a really wet summer, I know the Nemecogon River, you want to canoe that in May when you have a chance of getting snow, but you want to canoe that in May or June traditionally, but if we get a wet summer, it's not such a consideration.
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, you'll be scraping your canoe along the rocks. The Eau Claire River is another nice paddle, but if the water levels are low, it bottoms out and you're just on a beach almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Now, in one of the things you describe in your book is urban paddling. Let's talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of towns were built on rivers, so but we don't necessarily think of those places as a place to go paddling. But for example, in Baraboo, there's actually rapids right through town. And then the obvious is Milwaukee. There's three rivers there that come together, the Milwaukee River, the Kinnickinnick, and Menominee. And they've got a paddling route. There used to be a lot of dams on those rivers, and they've taken several of them out. So you can paddle from the north side all the way through downtown. And it's a different kind of scenery. At some points, you're completely surrounded by green, and you have no idea that, you're in Milwaukee. And then you come around the bend, and, there's apartments and buildings and historic buildings and breweries.
So, breweries. There you go.
So Lakefront Brewery is right on that river there. So is Rock Bottom, and so is Milwaukee Ale House.
Any hazards associated with urban paddling that we should know about?
The breweries. I mentioned that, right? So, boat traffic maybe, but not really in Milwaukee. The typical hazards, I mean, stay in your craft and use a flotation device. But the current's not very strong there, although there is one stretch under the, I think it's the North Avenue Bridge, where they've kind of forced a little rapids. And depending on the water level, it's quite a shock when you're on this very lazy river through Milwaukee and you come around the bend and you see that horizon line. You think, wait, what's going on? And you get there and it drops down under that bridge kind of quickly. And it's but it's a nice, safe run.
It's exhilarating.
It is very exhilarating. It's a wonderful surprise.
But in all seriousness, you don't want to be drunk in a canoe or
no,
a kayak.
No.
Okay, let's talk about how we share the river, for example, with other boats, especially bodies of water with maybe some really large boats.
Well, in the big lakes, they should be watching out for you, but it's important, I think, to stay close to shore. Being out in the middle of the lake in a canoe is, I don't know. It's not as interesting to begin with, but it also puts you out there in the boat traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Stay to the right of them as they're coming at you.
Okay. We have a comment from Facebook. Kurt writes on Facebook, last time we went to the Boundary Waters, it was windy and we flipped. I also don't like to kneel. Can you recommend a stable canoe or kayak?
That is a better question for the person you're buying that canoe or kayak from. But, something wider and something that tracks well is also important. Otherwise, you're just, steering back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. When you get a lot of wind, and it gets unpleasant.
We've just got a couple of minutes left. What places haven't we talked about that you really wanted us to mention this morning?
Boy, I don't know. We've kind of gone all over everything here. But, the Wisconsin River, that's the only thing in the book that I've doubled up on. Most of the trips are, you know, I just picked the best segment of one particular river and I didn't repeat it, and I spread it throughout the state. But the Wisconsin obviously runs the, you know, the full state here, and I included four different sections of it. So from the lower Wisconsin, which is just fantastic for camping out on sandbars, and the scenery, all the way down to the Mississippi there, all the way up to the headwaters, where it's just a simple little 15 feet across, clear stream. It's hard to believe it's the same river. So that's there's so much lovely territory on the Wisconsin.
We mentioned briefly Lake Superior, Lake Michigan. The Apostle Islands has those beautiful caves,
yeah.
But that water is awfully cold. You want to be pretty careful if you're going to go out in a kayak on Lake Superior.
Yeah, and you know, it's the big lake, and the lake is the boss, as they say up there. You really need to know what you're doing there. It looks like a perfect day, and 15 minutes later, the wind has changed. The waves are coming from another direction, and you get out in front of that cliff, and it's like a washing machine. You know, they're rebounding off the cliffs, and people have died. Fit, experienced paddlers have died out there even. So it's not something to be taken lightly. Not to scare people away from the trip, it's, I think, one of the most amazing paddles in the state. You can paddle through the caves and in little tunnels, but I think if you do not know what you're doing, you definitely want to use an outfitter, and then it mm-hmm. becomes something that really is not intimidating at all, and they know when to pull out and say, let's give it a little chance to rest. And that's enough. I mean, you know, a half hour later, you went back to the beach to have your lunch, waiting for the water to calm, and it does. And, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, let me ask you this. As we close out this section of the program, where are you planning to paddle next?
You know, I'm sticking around Madison this summer a bit. So I think I'm hoping to do a little full moon paddle on Lake Wingra in the next time.
Well, that sounds like fun. Kevin, good luck with your paddling, and thanks for sharing this time with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Revoldinsky is a world travel expert from Madison and author of several guidebooks, including Paddling Wisconsin, a guide to the state's best paddling routes. He also maintains the Mad Traveler blog. A lot of interesting pictures from his travels in Wisconsin there as well. This program is on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Thanks for telling me where to go this morning.
Can you canoe? I'll be your captain and your crew. Can you canoe? If there's nothing...
It's time for Wisconsin Life. What's the best way to see Wisconsin? Well, in a kayak. Today, Maureen McCullum takes us to the backwaters of the Mississippi River near La Crosse to meet some dedicated paddlers.
So, welcome to Kayak Skills 1. And you're now part of my secret plan to have kayakers take over the world. Jesse Conaway from Three Rivers Outdoors of La Crosse. I'm the Outdoor Programs Manager, and I live in West Salem, Wisconsin. I love being out on the water. It's a great way to enjoy the natural world. Okay, Yuna, take it away with paddles.
Okay, the paddle. So our paddle has two parts. My real name is Yu Ting Fu, and people call me Yuna. I'm from Taiwan, and I am living on campus UWL La Crosse. I want to be a kayak instructor and hope I can bring this back to my country.
Okay, it's the best time of day. We're launching. Yeah, get a good footing, then we'll just scooch the bow right in the water.
John Clark, president of the local Coulee Region Kayak Club. There's so much beauty out here that what's really sad is there's so many people that are living within 1 or 2 miles from where we are that have never been down here to enjoy this or take advantage of it. And the biggest thrill I find is I get back into places out in the river and the water people can't get to if they got their regular boats. I mean, I can kayak in 2 inches of water.
Sue Russell from Stoddard, Wisconsin. It was astounding how close to the water level you are and the different perspective. It's like being a 3-year-old child at that height, the way they see the world a little bit differently than you do. And it's like that in the kayak. You just see things differently.
Kayaking is actually a great way to sneak up on wildlife. I was paddling up at the Trempealeau Wildlife Refuge, and I saw this beaver on the shore, and I paddled up to it, and it was eating cattail shoots. I mean, I stopped eventually at like 10 feet away because I didn't want to disrespect it, but it didn't even care.
It relaxes me. It's just getting away from the cell phone and the television, even music and electronic noise, and it's just hearing nature. Just listen to the birds now. It's great.
It's a great group of people to be a part of. The kayak tribe.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, you can visit our new website, wisconsinlife.org. This hour of programming on Wisconsin Public Radio was produced by Christy Taylor. On-air production provided by Bill Martins. Christy Taylor also served as the show's director. Coming up after the news at 7, we're going to talk about how countries, non-governmental organizations, and individuals around the world are addressing climate change in a variety of ways and with a variety of results. Join us. Coming up, the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Hey, thought I saw a bear. Hey, I had a creep up at State Fair. Hey.